North 2 weather
with bradfordcollege.ac.uk. Are you ready to take a look? Bradford College is ready for you.
All right, the weather's pretty good at the moment. The rest of the evening will remain mostly dry with sunny intervals. Tomorrow is set to be a dry day and expect a good deal of sunshine as well. And highs will reach up to 16 degrees. For all this and more, visit pulse2.co.uk. Stick up with us because up next is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
On 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio, on the Pulse 2 app and online at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Aaron the Power Bauer, Super Mario Elliot Minchella, the Reggae Warrior Ross Peltier, and Robbie Hunter Paul.
Kia ora and g'day and welcome to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show live here at Pulse 2 Studios in the Pulse 2 Tower Block, that is. There's no Aaron this evening, there's no Elliot. Elliot's still missing his, he's doing home renovations in there. But yeah, we do have none other than Ross Peltier, and we've got the man himself, the king of Pulse 2 MDL. It is the game caller, Michael Gladhill. Mick, how's it going, buddy?
Yeah, I'm all good. I'm in my t-shirt, my shirt and shorts. Hopefully
summer's
around.
You're rocking those shorts, aren't you?
Hopefully summer's around the corner.
The sun must be out. Mick's got, I've got to admit, I've got to put some sunglasses on. You've got some white legs on you. Glaring. Absolutely glaring. So we've got a busy show for you this evening. As always, ladies and gentlemen, it's about you guys at home. So if you want to join the fun, either come on social media and add some questions in there. Or if you're watching on social media, just add some questions in there. We've got some questions set up a little bit earlier on. And I think we'll probably give away a couple of tickets to the Bradford Bulls this week. And they've got the big Armed Forces game. But we'll get into that a little bit later on. Obviously, Pelts, we hope, we think, so we'll be playing, and Mick, you'll be up there calling the game this weekend, and there's absolutely loads going on. Second segment of the show, these guys are going to be talking about their topic of choice in their 30-second round. Third section of the show, it's all about you guys, so we want you to add your 50 cents in, whatever topic you want to discuss, because there's been loads going on in rugby league this week, including the head of the Super League getting a little bit annoyed with the head of, well, we've got to say the head coach of Great Britain and England, and that's Wayne Bennett. And no one's allowed to get angry with Wayne Bennett. No one at all. He is the Messiah. And then we'll be looking at the upcoming games this weekend in the final segment of the show. But before we do all of that, let's catch up with the boys. How's it going, lads?
All right.
I've never seen Pelt so low on energy in all my life. And it's not a physical low. I can tell it's an emotional one. Do you need a man up, bro?
No, I'm all right, man. I'm all right. It's been one of them weeks, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? After the weekend, but...
So let's talk about, look, what do they call it? Let's eat the frog. If the hardest thing you've got to do in a day is eat a frog, do it at the beginning part of your day so you know the rest of your day is going to be easy. So let's deal with the performances of the Bradford Bulls probably over the last couple of weeks, but definitely on the weekend because, as you were saying before off air, 25 minutes ago, you guys are in it. There's an 8-point difference. What'd you say, Mick? It was 22 points to 14, something like that?
Yeah, we're 25 minutes to go. It's 22 points to 14, and that's including Ross dropping the ball over the line, Liam Kirk, and Matty Wilder.
He started with that. He crumbled a little bit. Just as you said that, he just went, oh.
We're only being honest. Yeah. To be in that position with 25 minutes to go, after bombing three clear-cut tries, you know, and there were fundamental mistakes, which I'm sure Russell will admit, along with some of the other players. You know, I just can't believe that, you know, conceding five tries in 25 minutes, and that's the difference, ultimately, you know, between the two sides on Sunday. It's a very frustrating, sort of deflating defeat, but there was a lot of positives to take from it. And, you know, scoring 20 points at the Lee Sports Village and bombing four tries because Steve Fogg and Johnston failed to ground the ball late on in the game. You know, there's not many times I've walked away from a game thinking, well, you know, if we
that
score
could have turned out differently.
Those four tries, that's 24 points. Well, it could have turned out differently.
I think it's important that you say that you point out the fact that three of those tries come before what we consider that break, that 25-minute spell where everything just sort of fell apart. But look, before we go past this, let's deal with the drop ball over the line. Because, you know, we leave no stone unturned here. And look, and take it from someone who actually 2004, the Bulls versus Leeds, the game was on a knife edge, and this young fella called Robbie Paul gets the ball, and he just clean drops the ball, not in contact, not over the try line, just with nothing, not around. So we've all dropped the ball, is what I'm trying to say, Ross, and in important moments. So let's talk us through
that. It one of them, you know, I've hit a ball back under the sticks.
I don't want to know about the drop ball. I want to know about the game. What was going on in the field? Like that. I was picking on you.
It would have them. You know what it is? At times in the game, we thought, you know, Lee looked like they were getting tired a bit, and we had them on ropes. But then we kept dropping the ball, or we'd turn over possession, and then, you know, silly penalties really from a lot of people. You know, like we're forced to not to be bad to Sam, but like. Force a knock on, then we end up giving a penalty to them, so they get the ball instead.
So you just feel like you're constantly on the back foot.
But then after, 15 minutes of that second half, I put George under the sticks, and then, you know, we were within, about 8 points.
See, Mick, you could have said there George scored, but no, he added that.
He scored off the back of me. That's what I mean, it's all about balance, you see what I mean? I've put him straight under post. And we thought we were in it, and then... You know, like you said, we felt we was in the game. We were looking at Lee. They were trying to get the ball out. Like, Ethan's try could come from them trying to get the ball out because their line, their chase want all that. And then, you know, Ethan's gone up and put Wildy in. And, you know, we really...
That's got to be down there for one of the tries of the season. I mean, any league.
Yeah.
Ethan, quick bit of footwork, under pressure, bit of footwork, slice him through the middle, and then great backing up by the half, up the middle of the park.
And, you know, we felt we could have him. We felt we were back in it at times, and then, we'd just keep letting him off, drop ball, unforced error, penalty. And then, that last 20 minutes.
Do you think the team's a little bit emotionally jaded at the moment? Do you think you guys feel internally, I mean, it's hard to put your finger on it when you talk about it from a physical, physically jaded, but in certain areas of the game, do you just think that you're a bit emotionally jaded after what seems like such an emotional roller coaster between the Leeds game? We got to let that go. We do. I think we're part of the problem, talking about it all the time. But obviously, then there was the Summer Bash, then there was the Halifax quarterfinal game. And, you know, so many bang, bang, bang. Emotional highs, and then to go across to play in a very experienced team, Lee Centurions, on their home turf with, you know, they've got Derek Bowman coming out at the moment, you know, waving the flag once again, saying he's going to back the boys. He's openly talking about a big push for the Super League in 2019, let alone building for the future. He's telling everyone he's got unfinished business, even though the business sounded like it was very finished in 2018. Yeah. Do you guys feel a bit jaded?
I don't know. We've looked at things and we spoke honest with each other at training, you know, and we've said we've got to tighten up in all areas really. And we feel that what's been letting us down really is a mental thing. It's not been physical. It's just it's all basically what we thought we need to fix up is all mentality things really. And you know that's what we're looking at fixing. It's been like like you say, it could be whether. You know, something to do emotionally or whatever, but, you know, we're looking to fix it up. I think now we'll have two permanent halves of Lily and Keys. Hopefully they can get that combination going again this weekend. And, I think we've looked at it. There's, 10 games left. There's still a real good plenty chance of getting the playoffs still. Win at the weekend puts Halifax, 4 points off us, 6 points off the race for top five. So that's kind of... Put them out. That'd be like putting them out the race. Really, and we've just really got to pick up the points where we can because we've got some tough games coming up.
I got a solution for you. I got a solution for the mental side of things.
Yeah.
Meditation. I want to hear you guys all sitting up in a big circle up there going umming away to one another and just sort of. I mean, we are talking about de-stressing and actually taking the pressure off yourself, and that's no better way than being present. Hey, what do you think? You think you guys would look good?
I think it'll work, you know.
I got some meditation beads here. I can lend you my ones. Let's talk about that halves combination that you were talking about, Joe. Keezy coming back. Look, Mick, you've been across the games that Keezy's been involved with. How's he looking?
Well, he played last Wednesday, a week ago today, against Keighley. He had a try disallowed late on for being offside. But, you know, he created 5 tries, 5 assists. He was very lively, very creative, putting them crossfield kicks in to Josh Rickett, kicks behind the Keighley defensive line for Harry Shackleton. Honestly, he's like a new signing, a breath of fresh air. And hopefully, if he gets the nod from John Keir and he's confident that he can play in Sunday's game against Halifax, I think, you know, as John Keir's rightly said, it will be like having a brand new player. And at last, we're going to have a bit of cohesion and hopefully some consistency to the halfback problem.
Well, cohesion consistency comes with a little bit of repetition. So he's not actually been on the field, and they've not been building that. They've not had a chance to build that yet.
No.
That doesn't happen overnight. But let's turn back to Ross again. How's he looking in training?
He's looking sharp. You know, he's always had that running threat, and his kicking game's on point, really. So I think that's what we've been missing, really. And I think we'll have a comfortable goal kicker again. You know, I think the Halifax game, it was a point we made. You know, we missed out. We could have levelled if we had a goal kicker. We've got that back now. You know, and I think we've had it out. We've won another one. We've spoke about it. And we've put it to bed now, and it's all about positive mindset.
So before we put it to bed, what's John said about it all?
Yeah,
you said that you had a let's be honest session.
Yeah, John's all about that, and I think we all spoke about what we think we needed to do better, what we thought we did badly. We were quite honest. John hadn't really said much, really. He's left it to us to speak about it. We've won another and we spoke about it. And, yeah, everybody just can't wait to get in and rip in on Sunday, really, because I think there's a lot of people want to right some wrongs that happened over the past few weeks.
Mick, you've just been looking at the permutations on the table at the moment. So how important is Sunday's game?
Sunday's massive. It's pretty much whoever loses on Sunday, their season will be over. I know there'll still be nine games
That's
to go.
That's a big dress. It's 10 games.
No, Robert, you've got to look. Halifax will be on 16, Bradford will be on 18. Whoever loses on Sunday, I think it's going to be season over. Based on previous years when we've had a top five in the Championship, you need to be on 30 to 32 points. You know, and when you look at fixtures for Bradford, still got to go away to Toulouse, you've still got to play Toronto, tough game against York at Bootham Crescent. You know, let's be realistic now. You know, they still have a chance mathematically, but whoever loses on Sunday, and I think Ross is agreeing with that, you know, it will be season over.
All right. Well, I think if anything, you really, really amplified and exemplified how important Sunday's game
is to the
running of the season. All right. We're going to go to a break now. When we come back, we're going to be hearing from the boys a poignant topic that they've got sticking out from the world of rugby league. Can be absolutely anything, and they're going to share that with us. But before we do that, let's have a look at the roads.
Pulse 2. Travel.
With mylivingwell.co.uk. Enjoy free inflatable fun in City Park, Bradford on Saturday the 22nd of June. Get active with Living Well.
Right, at Malvern Road, very slow traffic on the A646. The new road in both directions from Midgley Road to Albert Street. In Keighley, traffic heavier than normal on the A629 southbound before Hardings Road roundabout. And in Saltire Road, Shipley, queuing traffic on the Saltire Road between the A650 Bingley Road and Audley Road at Fox Corner. Travel time there is 7 minutes. For more updates, go to pulse2.co.uk.
Live on 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio, on the Pulse 2 app and online at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in the studio with Ross, the reggae warrior, Peltier, and the game caller himself, Michael Mick Gledhill. Up in this segment of the show, we do our 30-second round, right? Mm. But I'm going to go first with a 30-second round. Mm. And it's not going to be what you think. It's not going to be a round. It's just basically, it's a great opportunity to promote the Armed Forces Day up there. So give me 3, 2, 1, Brooke. Are we on? Yes, okay, we're on. So this weekend up at the Bradford Bulls, special day, Armed Forces Day, massive afternoon for the Bulls. The Bulls have actually done this over the last sort of, 5 to 10 years. They've actually teamed up with Armed Forces and made sure that as a community, we're dedicating that time and money and donating it to the Armed Forces. Massive game, obviously. It's against Halifax, so a local derby as well. One of the biggest social demographics that the armed forces get there Warriors form come from the working classes of the North and especially in Yorkshire as well. So we all seem to know someone who's actually been in the armed forces themselves. So a day dedicated especially to them. What's going on? Loads of entertainment. There's going to be a skydive to deliver the ball, and that's always brilliant to watch. Armoured vehicles will be on display and heavy weaponry as well. So you get to go up there and basically feel Peltz's biceps. That's heavy weaponry, isn't it, son? Hey, oh, look, he tensed up as well. In the kids' zones, there'll be inflatables, face painting, and wall climbing as well. Loads of stuff for you guys to do. So get up there with the family. There's a special price as well. So just entry, £10 for adults and £5 for kids. So cheap as chips as well. So if you've got nothing on, get up there and support the boys. Support all of the boys, the armed forces, absolutely everything. 5 cents from you guys. I know that went longer than 30 seconds. It's going to be a big day, eh?
Yeah, it'd be a big day. It'd be like the old times, Bradford, you know. It's ball getting delivered by a single parachute. And I'm just excited to see how that goes, mate.
You'll be in the dressing room.
Hopefully, I want to be watching it, but yeah. Hopefully it don't go wrong.
Why would you say that? Touch wood.
It's going to be a great, I'll echo what you've just said, Robbie. It's going to be a fantastic afternoon, and I challenge anybody, you know, it's going to be 21, 22 degrees on Sunday, sunshine. You tell me a better stadium in rugby league. You tell me a better stadium in rugby league.
He'll be putting loads, he'll be factor 50 on. It'll be that thick, the thing will be house paint, won't it? Painting your legs in house paint so you don't get sunburned.
But Robbie, you tell me a better stadium in rugby league where you can have the tanks, the cannons, the cars
there isn't.
Going round yeah. before
there
the game.
Is not
it's going to be very special. It's going to be a special
that
afternoon.
That is one of the things that was always made Odsell Stadium unique is the fact that there is that space. So, yes, you get the ability to have the parade around the pitch at that time, but equally up on the concourses, there's so much space to have all the activities that all the kids can go and be a part of. And for 15 quid for a dad and little Billy or mum and little Susie, absolutely brilliant, great value for money, and what a day out. And then, you know, you get to watch like the heavy weaponry come out and Pelt starts tensing up again.
Yeah, well, it'll be a good day, so I'm looking forward to it.
You don't get to enjoy it, though.
No, we don't
you
get
just
to enjoy
get to
it, but...
get vlogged. You know, like, you know, back in the day when the Bulls used to put all this entertainment on, which you got to enjoy, I didn't. I never knew what was going on. We're in the hole, weren't we?
In bunker.
Like, we're in the bunker.
You
don't know what's going on. You come out, but that was what was great. And you would have felt that against Halifax and Leeds when you played earlier this year.
Yeah.
You come out into a cauldron, don't you, of excitement and energy. And that's second to none. When Odsell is rocking, is absolutely second to none, because just the natural bowl of it means all the noise stays down in the bowl. And equally, if it's a gorgeous day, it doesn't get any better than at Odsell Stadium, because it may be 22 degrees in the rest of Bradford, but it's 26 down there.
Yeah.
And like I said before, Mick slapping on the sunblock. All right, who's first up? I tell you what, the Bulls got a good plug then. Get up to Odsell. Gotta love it. Watch Pelts get his biceps out. Heavy artillery.
Yeah.
So who's 32? Who's up first? You up first, Pelts?
Yeah.
Okay.
Three, two, one. Yeah, it's one like I touched on before. I think what happened at the weekend and stuff. You know, fans, you've always got a right to voice your opinion. No one's ever saying that, but you know, when you start personally tagging players into your criticisms and starting to get at players and you know aim it directly at them and you know, speak about them every week. You know, players see that, and no one goes out there to ever have a bad game. No one goes out there to make mistakes. And, you know, it's like everybody, if you have a bad game, then they gauge your whole year. Like, that's a bad game. No matter if you've killed it for the past however many games, as soon as you have a bad game, you know. And it's one of them.
Yep.
You know, sometimes you just got to be a bit
mindful.
A bit.
Be mindful.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things that we're talking about, and I think, who's one of the players? Callum Watkins' wife.
Yeah.
She highlighted and profiled it. You got to understand that we're living in the world where we're constantly on. It's 24/7. You know, social media devices, and it's great because look. Fans can now interact directly with players. You know, we've now entered a stage where players can talk directly to. You don't have to go be the vehicle via an intermediary like a journalist, right? You can be your own journalist, and you've now got never before access to athletes who are talking about them, giving you access to the inside of their lives like you've never had, unprecedented before. But equally, they're people. At the end of the day, they're people. And you may have your concern. You can get frustrated about it, but an attack, things that are inappropriate to put on social media, one, there's a number of different reasons why you shouldn't do it. One, there's a person on the other end of that line. But two, children, anybody can see that content as well. And if it's not appropriate and it's a direct attack that is misunderstood or misinformed, then all you're doing is compounding the issue. You're not helping situations. You're just compounding it, making it worse. And this is what we've got to be mindful of. Social media does give us that sort of access, but you think of how many athletes you know that just have given up on it.
Yeah,
they've just turned their social media platforms off.
When it comes to a weekend like a game like before, you know, a lot of people can't help but look. But you know, I'm someone I don't really look at. I don't like to look at. I think I watched someone with Ian Wright before, and he said basically, you know, back when he was playing, that's very good. But you're not supposed to see everybody's opinions on you. It's not really natural for you to see so many people have an opinion on you, and you can see everything everyone's saying about you. And it can get to certain people. That's why. And
it can get to most.
Yeah,
people.
When you read it online, sometimes you make it feel like it gives it validity, and it when really it's just someone at home or someone somewhere who's just saying
got stuff
whatever,
going on in their own lives,
and then you're seeing
venting
it, you're
it
feeling
by your
it,
model. Yeah.
So it's one of them things that when we win, I don't mind to have a little look, but if it's a bad day off, don't go looking at that because I don't want to see it.
No, but I can appreciate why you'd want to do that. Yeah. What are your thoughts on this?
I just echo what Ross says. You know, a lot of people, you know, and I saw all the comments and I saw the fallout from Sunday's loss at Lee. I forget the gentleman's name, but someone made, you know, a valid point that it had cost him his wife and two children, when you factor in transport, getting on the supporters' coach and having a bite to eat, £127 he'd pay, and that performance was unacceptable. But he made his point, you know, with what I would say with a bit of empathy and a bit of humility in it, but there was far too many supporters' comments from people who've not been at Lee, they've not gone to the game, they'll have only listened or watched it on the Our League app. And I'd just be mindful, you know, like you say, you're sat, you're angry, yes, it's the heaviest defeat of the season, but you're sat on your couch, you know, you're laying on your couch, you're sat on the sofa, you know, and you're just commenting away. Be mindful that a lot of the players are in these Facebook groups, these Bradford Bulls Facebook groups, and the players are going to see the comments. And when they see you posting profanity after profanity, slagging the players off, slagging the club off, how's that going to make people like Ross, who, you know, they don't, as he's just said, they don't go out there deliberately to lose, you know. He's, you know, if you cut Ross now, he's going to bleed red, amber and black.
Understand that what it does, it compounds it. Yeah. There's no motivation in it. All it is negativity. You pump negativity with more negativity, and it's sort of like thing. You're never going to cure evil with evil. You just create more evil.
It's one of the things, you know, taking a loss in sports sometimes, you know, that it happens. Look at Toulouse, a loss of Swinton this week, you know. Not this is Championship rugby, and if you look at half the squad that Lee team had, you know, this is a massively more experienced team than us. It's no excuse, but, you know, we never mean to lose that.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ross. Mick, we never got an opportunity to get to you, but we'll probably come back to you in the next segment of the show. We're going to go to a break now. When we come back, we're going to hear from you guys and the question that you guys have been throwing in. So stay with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2. Across West Yorkshire, online, DAB, 1278 and 1530 AM. This is Pulse 2.
Campaign calling for a new law that would compel greater counter-terror planning is being backed by the husband of Joe Cox. The Batley and Spen MP was murdered in Birstall in 2016. Brendan Cox now wants Martin's Law brought into legislation. Staff at Bradford College are going on strike again. Members of the University and College Union are walking out in a row with bosses over job cuts and pay. They'll be on the picket line between Wednesday the 3rd and Friday the 5th of July. And Bross are going to be hitting our screens again. It follows the success of their Fly on the Wall documentary. Matt and Luke Goss are going to be presenting a show on BBC 4 called A Night In with Bross.
2 Sport.
Oliver Roberts, Dale Ferguson and Innes Senior have been added to the Huddersfield Giants squad this week. They're at home to Wigan Warriors on Friday night. Joe Wardle misses out with a hand injury and Jermaine McGilvery remains on the sidelines. Meanwhile, head coach Simon Woolford has given us an update on the fitness of captain Leroy Cudjoe today.
He won't play this week, but you know, all things being going well, he'll play next week. So he's growing in confidence every week. He would have been handy for us this week because we're down a couple of outside backs.
The former England centre has been recovering from knee surgery. And in football, England can progress to the last 16 of the Women's World Cup as group winners tonight. They'll finish ahead of Japan in Group D by avoiding defeat to them in Nice. Here's defender Lucy Bronze.
Coming into this World Cup, we've got a lot more belief. I think that's the thing that's maybe changed. You know, we're not here to just make the numbers up. We want to win. We want to win every game, whether that's against Japan, Argentina, Scotland, doesn't matter.
For details on all those stories and more, go to pulse2.co.uk. That's the latest. I'm James Crossling.
Live on 1278 and 1530 AM, this is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in the studio with Mick the Game Caller, Glenn Hill, and Ross Arege, Warrior Peltier. And this segment's all about you guys. You should have seen the conversation we've just been pulling off. And we want to know from all of our listeners out there, what do you like best, DC or Marvel? That's where the conversation... We went straight off rugby league. We were talking about how our Ross Peltier... Well, Ross was talking about how he reminds himself of Superman. And then we went from there into like different characters, and then it ended up just no. I'm a Marvel fan as opposed to, but Mick's a DC fan. What are you?
Yeah, I'm a Marvel fan. I mean, if I'm honest, I like Batman, but yeah.
You like Batman? Oh yeah. We were arguing who's the best Batman, and we all agreed that Christian Bale was, didn't we? Yeah, I'm a big fan of that anyway. Okay, on to your guys' questions. So the first question is from Chris Barrett, and he posted in, where to start with the mess at Lee? How did the side pick themselves up a game for the game against Halifax on Sunday, another game against Halifax? So, look, we've addressed what needs to be done, but Ross, do you just think actually having a game as big as Halifax is the best thing that could happen for you guys right now, because it's not a throwaway game. It's something that you've got to really focus on. Put the last game against Lee to bed. Put the last month of rugby league to bed and actually focus on something that's really, really important.
Yeah, and what better way to get back on it? Australia, play Halifax. We feel like we owe them for that quarterfinals, because we feel, you know, that quarterfinal and Summer Bash, we could have won them games. We beat ourselves, really. It was through our mistakes, through our lack of concentration. We feel it with all stuff we did that we can correct.
Or you didn't do.
We didn't do. And basically, you know, what a bigger occasion. You know, such a big occasion. Low ticket price. And it's fourth game against Halifax. You know, we've won one. Lost what? Oh, no. It'd be his fourth. We've won one. We've lost two. So, you know, let's even it up. Get another win. And, yeah, what better way to get back to winning ways than to beat Halifax, really?
Done. Let's put that to bed, eh?
Yeah.
Because the focus is about this weekend's game, and let's put that to bed. Okay, so moving forward, Carsten, how do you pronounce that? Carsten Brum. Rugby league in the Northern Hemisphere has a major structural problem. How would you solve it, and why can't we promote the players? So why, you know, like other sports have so many high-profile athletes that stop being, that actually become A-list celebrities. You know, you think of the big footballers in this country, they're A-list celebrities. And that's part of the sort of the mystery that comes with the sport and the aspirational elements of the sport. Why can't we, let's deal with that first question first. What do we need to do to promote the individual athletes in the sport?
I think it's a mindset thing, through players as well. You know, I'm not scared to put myself out there, offer my opinions up, you know, I polarise people sometimes.
Yeah, and you get into
sometimes.
Trouble for it as well.
Yeah, I get into trouble for it, but, you know, I think that's what too many players, every interview sounds the same. Whenever they do any media, it sounds the same.
Doesn't it?
They don't really want to step out of that box, because people might have an opinion on that, and I think, You know, as I know, the sport needs to. There's certain clubs and teams who are really trying to pick up their social media game and really do stuff. Like, you know, Robbie, your mate Purvis down at Fevvy does a lot, and I think more clubs need to get like that. But
can
players
I just point
as well.
Out that he's an employee of Extra Mile Marketing, that is.
Yeah, I just feel players need to just get out of that box, really. And rugby league, we probably, you know, you've got a few characters in there, but on the whole, it's kind of everyone's the same and no one's really up there to put himself out there, really. So there needs to be.
So Mick, what Ross is pointing out, there is thing that the actual players can do themselves more favours in respect of growing their own profiles, but actually by actually probably saying more than what they think. It's just not a very northern thing to do, isn't it? Do you think it's a cultural thing that actually you stay quite stiff upper lipped?
Yeah,
you think about it, the majority of the rugby players come from Lancashire and Yorkshire, yeah. And Cumbria, and you the way you're brought up here is quite. You keep yourself to yourself, and you know you don't say anything untowards. That's not necessarily entertainment, though, is it?
No, that's not entertainment.
If you look at boxing, you look at even what they do with darts. Yeah. It's all about amplifying the extremes of stuff.
Yeah, that's how I've been all my life. Really, I say stuff. People laugh at things I say. Sometimes John's not been happy at things I've said in media before games, but you know, it is what it is. That's sport.
He has been banned from saying certain things in the media, but John's never banned him from this show.
Bulls on their YouTube last season, you know, I got a bit of an interview ban. People don't like to interview me because, you know, but that's what it is. Players, even Eddie Hearn had that same comment, you know, players need to build their own profile, get out, to put himself out there, I feel.
But what I would do is, and I'd make every club do this, some of the players at Super League level, they've got more followers than the actual club accounts themselves. So, like last night, for instance, Love Island, I absolutely detest that show, but there's players tweeting about Love Island, but they're not advertising
their own game.
So I think as a sport, we shoot ourselves in the foot, and I think there's a distinct lack of leadership at Super League and RFL level. I mean, Robert Elston this afternoon's criticised Wayne Bennett for comments. All that's done is just create a massive negative, a storm of negativity.
Well,
and we're not focusing
on... I don't think he's openly come out and spoken about it. People have asked him about, and he's got to make comment. He can't just say, "Oh yeah, that's fine. Anyone can have our Super League players." So it's a little bit of artistic license when it comes to the journalism there. Being a journalist yourself, you understand how it works.
I understand it's people trying to sell papers, trying to sell clicks and likes, but ultimately, Robbie, Wayne Bennett is employed by the Rugby Football League, and Wayne's number one job is to do the very best for Great Britain, the very best for England. And if that means 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of our players have to go and play in the NRL to reach that level, to beat Australia, to beat New Zealand, then so be it.
I'm hearing you. Okay. Okay, what are the other, the structural problems of the competition now? It's quite... optimum talking about this because in the trades this week I think Andrew Chalmers was pictured in it. There's a conversation, a desire from at least a certain segment of the championship to extend the championship competition to a 16-team competition. What are your thoughts on that, boys? Both of you.
Yeah, I'm all for it, really. You know, 16 teams brings more competition into the league, and you know it makes the season that bit longer, and we can play, because if you don't get playoffs, really, your season's done, really, early September. I feel it could run a bit longer, and you know it just builds the league.
There's 14
really.
Teams at the moment,
yeah.
14, yeah.
So they would add an extra four games.
Yeah, so you can take it back end of September, but you know, clubs like Newcastle, clubs like...
But then we were talking about last week about there being the 1895 Cup, and that adds more games as well. We do talk about player welfare and the amount of games that are expected of the players.
I say, is there any point in Easter, that period like that? There's no point. Like, we build up fixtures like that. And
do you mean just start the season earlier, finish it a little bit later?
Yeah, start the season a little bit earlier and we can end it a bit later, you know. Oh, we can start 1895 Cup earlier in pre-season instead of Yorkshire Cup. Or like we said, the whole Yorkshire Lancashire Cup idea. But you know, I don't think 16 teams would be any detrimental to the league. You know, I think most other leagues, when you look at other sports, whether it be Union or wherever, they have big lead.
Look, let's be honest, though, and I'll bring Mick in here. The real reason for this is because it makes it probably a lot more attractive for a television network to get involved. And we're heading towards 2021 where the current deal falls down. So we've got to take our very valuable, and the championship is awesome. The quality of play in the championship is just awesome. It's a really high quality rugby league product, and very rarely do we get to see it. But there's probably a marketplace for it.
Well, that's it. There's going to be a meeting at Doncaster next month on the 10th of July, and it's going to be put to a vote. Obviously, some League One clubs, they're not going to vote it through, because if you're potentially cherry-picking the very best League One clubs, your Doncasters, your Coventries, your London Scholars, your Newcastles, putting them in the championship to make it more vibrant. I mean, look at the championship next season. If Toronto don't go up, and let's say Featherstone or York go up, you're potentially going to have Toronto, Toulouse, Leeds could come down, Bradford. You know, you've got all these big city Newcastle in the championship. Mm-hmm. That is quite an attractive competition. And, you know,
they're big city brand names.
Big city brand names.
You can take the market.
And listen, Andrew Chalmers, Derek Beaumont, you know, Ralph Rimmer, I don't blame them. I don't blame them, Robbie, for doing this, because obviously Robert Elston and Super League, they've split. They've decided that they're going to go their own path, their own way. And the clubs like Bradford, like Halifax, like Lee, they can't sit around hoping that Robert Elston's going to deliver a Super League deal. They have to take control of their own destiny.
The table,
yeah, they've got to take control of their own destiny.
Yeah, well, what I was saying, when I look at it, the other week I watched Richmond versus Jersey in a rugby union championship in front of about 200 people, and I think if that's on Sky Sports 1, you know, Bradford versus Halifax, Bradford versus Toronto, that definitely has a place in league on Sky 1 or your mentioned TV, really, so we should get it on.
So we're both in favour of a 16-team competition.
I'm in favour of rebranding it, the championship to either the Rugby League Premiership or one of the other names that have been branded.
Did you post that on social media?
It's been trademarked, Robbie.
The
name has been trademarked.
Quite like it.
The Rugby League Premiership.
Yeah, I quite like it.
Because it is the
RFL. It used to be the Premiership.
It is the RFL, yeah, the Northern Ford Premiership. Yeah, so a lot of Super League fans
I played in it. I'm that old.
But Robbie, a lot of Super League fans telling me that you can't have it the Premiership because the Super League's a Premiership competition. It ain't. The RFL have the championship.
Yeah, okay. But let's not confuse the situation. I get both sides of the argument. Okay. I like that one, actually. We've got one more thing that I want to address in the final segment of the show. And we're going to be looking at the upcoming games in the final segment of the show. But let's have a final look at the roads.
Pulse 2. Travel.
With myLivingWell.co.uk. Free inflatable fun and fitness classes at the Leisure Centre Keighley on Saturday the 22nd of June. Get active.
In Hippo Home, slow traffic on the A644 Brickhouse and Denham Road at the Christchurch. Traffic lights in Murfield, queuing traffic on Wakefield Road between A62 Cooper Bridge Road at Cooper Bridge Roundabout and the M62 Junction 25 Roundabout. And in Carlisle. Carlisle Road, sorry. There's queuing traffic on Queens Road, Carlisle Road, around A650 Manningham Lane. Travel time there is 12 minutes. Stay away from Cumbria, you lot. Keep updated on pulse2.co.uk.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in the studio with Mick Liddell and Ross Peltier. And this is the final segment, and we're looking forward to the upcoming games this weekend. But before we do that, we had a question. Where's my notes here? Okay, so this came from Bob Chappell. He wants to know who we think is going down in the Super League this year. Now, it's quite a funny question. Not a funny question, but you asked that because there's currently three teams on 12 points. That's Leeds Rhinos, would you believe, Hull KR and London Broncos. They're all on 12 points. Just above them is Huddersfield on 14 points. And just above them on 16 points are three teams, Salford, Wigan and Wakefield Trinity. Now, we all in this room tipped London Broncos, except for Elliot, actually. Mm. Except for Elliot Minchella, tipped London Broncos to go back down. But look, in the last couple of weekends, it'd been St. Helens 2 weekends ago, there'd be Catalans on the weekends. Yeah. What is going on? And who do you guys think is going to be the team that's going to fall under the axe this year?
I fear Leeds will escape the drop. I feel it between Hull KR and London, but I would definitely say Wakefield will be very worried of their form of late of slipping into that bottom three battle. Because if any of them bottom three are playing Wakefield soon, I reckon they could beat them. And yeah,
well, I think it was Chizzy was saying that he believes that Wakefield are in a relegation battle.
Yeah, I believe they are, because without Dave Fafita, they're looking not too good. Really.
Not as dominant.
Yeah, and I feel like any of them teams below them can beat them. And
this is weird, because I'm in that Man of Steel selection panel. I went out and my first three games was at Wakefield. Mm. And I'm thinking to myself, this team's going to compete. They're going to be injuries, man.
They're always my team to tip, and they always start well and let me down. So yeah.
So you're saying either Hull KR or London, but you're not putting any money on either of them.
No, I'm not putting any money on either of them, and I think Wakefield will be in that mix as well as Leeds. I think it'll come down to the last say 3 weeks of the season.
Okay, so Mick, what's your thoughts on that? Who do you think is going to be a?
Well, you've just got to look at the table from Catalan Dragons all the way down to London. You've got nine teams, so Catalans on 20 points. You know, those sides are closer to the bottom than they are to actually the top. And as Ross has said, Wakefield are in free fall. Catalans, you can include them in it. They just seem to be getting beat now on a regular basis. Huddersfield, what's happened to Huddersfield? You know, that magnificent performance at the Magic weekend at Anfield. Since then, they've lost three in a bounce. They've got a massive game on Friday night at home against Wigan. If they lose that...
I wasn't convinced with Wigan. I went to the Leeds. Yeah. Wigan are still in that. I'm not convinced with Wigan.
But at the minute, based on the form book, your top two sides, based on form, are London and Hull Kingston Rovers, and they meet
and
tomorrow.
They play tomorrow night.
So one of them's going to win. So one of them's going to keep
and
up that
with
pressure.
That in context, so the three teams on 12 points, Leeds, Hull KR and London, two of them play each other tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And on Friday night, Leeds are away to St. Helens, who's sitting top of the table.
Yeah.
Something's going to happen down the bottom.
Leeds aren't going to get a win there, so Leeds are going to stay on 12.
I'm sitting on the fence at the moment on who's going down, but
no, you can't sit on the fence.
Okay,
I'll make a prediction.
I'll make a prediction. I still think with the financial problems that haven't really surfaced yet, I think Salford are going to be in trouble. I'm going to say Salford.
That's just coming out of left field. That now
he's got some knowledge.
I think Salford will be going down.
My thing is though, they've had kind of financial. They've had problems. For the last
the big rumour, Robbie, is they're going to sell Jackson Hastings in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, you heard it. Maybe you didn't hear it here first, but
yeah
I've heard it from you here first. But there has been murmurs of Jackson Hastings. And to where? Where, Michael? Where?
Leeds. Yeah, see?
I got more teams. I received some intelligence this afternoon.
So let's talk about games. We've got a minute to go. Huddersfield versus Wigan. Both teams need it.
Yeah, I think Huddersfield, what were it, four or five youngsters playing against Saints, and I think that's the same. They've got some bodies out. I think they're going to struggle. I think Wigan will pip them.
It's Wigan. Wigan. Away win for me. Wigan.
Okay, I'm going to back Huddersfield. Purely and simply because they've got a lot of stuff going on this weekend, and it's one of my old clubs. So heart before the head. And I'm that far out in front with everyone because these guys are just dragging the thing. I can afford to pick with my heart. Broncos. KR.
London. Home win.
Yeah, I'm going to go London on that plastic pitch.
Oh, man. This is a tough one for me. I think they're in
Danny
form at
Ward,
the moment.
Jamie Langley.
They've got momentum at the moment. So
what they've done with that side, fantastic.
That's right. They've got a good unit together and they're playing really well. Look, all of it from us tonight. Michael Gledhill, thank you very much for being here once again. Ross Peltier, look, ever present, you know what I mean? He is the most consistent man in rugby league. Nope. We love you at home. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next Wednesday.
This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 2.